coming down on a sunny day. Coming down on a sunny day.
Hello, everyone. Let me tell you, this is a good day to be here because we're actually kicking off a brand new series that will last all summer long. It's called Stormproof, and so we want to learn together how we can stormproof our lives no matter what challenge we face. The picture you see on the screen, it's also on your bulletin. This is the image that we're using for this series. It was drawn by painted by a Mexican artist, Paulo Medina. And he tells a story of how he was inspired. He drew this picture about 10 years ago. He was inspired by a letter that he read back from 1893. St. Therese of Lisieux wrote to her older sister and said this: "Be assured, dear Celine, that though your dinghy is in a far away area, it perhaps is already very close to your harbor. The wind of suffering that is propelling it is a wind of love, and that wind is faster than lightning." And just the presence of God in the midst of storms. So today we're going to focus on the fact that despite the storms, in Christ we are overcomers. And here's the big idea that I want you to hear, I want you to learn, I want you to know. The world overwhelms, but Jesus overcomes. The world overwhelms, but Jesus overcomes. And so you'll see images of chaos on the screen. You're going to see words rotating, some of the challenges in life. And this doesn't mean that, hey, Jesus, you know, overcomes. It doesn't mean that we deny the reality of challenges or pain in our lives. It doesn't mean we close our eyes and hope everything goes away. It doesn't mean we pretend like everything's okay. Because when challenges happen, when pain happens, it's not okay. Let's not just put on a happy face and pretend. It's not okay. But it can be. And the reason is, because though the world overwhelms, Jesus overcomes. Now, I want to make sure you get this. And so I'm going to give you a job here. You guys, this section right here, I want you guys to say the world. Let me hear you.
The world.
The world. You guys, now you're going to have double duty, all right? So be prepared. I want you to say overwhelms. You guys get to say, but Jesus, well, you know, maybe with a little more confidence, we'll come back to you. And then this is where your double duty comes in, overcomes. All right, so let's try this, put it all together. All right, you're a big group over there, don't let me down. Ready?
The world
overwhelms,
but Jesus overcomes.
That was fun.
The world
overwhelms, but Jesus overcomes. Nice, I like that. You're the expert on this. You're the expert on this because you live in this world. You see, you hear, you feel the chaos, the challenges. There's a list of about, I think it's 30 some odd words that we'll scroll. Things like terrorism, bullying, sexism, racism, apathy, STDs, cancer, Alzheimer's, drug addiction, hunger, air pollution, personal debt, national debt, rape, unemployment, you know, it goes on and on. And the reason that's going to scroll throughout the message is because life continues to happen. The world overwhelms, but Jesus overcomes. This is the key. But how do we know that? I mean, really, aren't those just words? I mean, that's like a phrase you might see on a bumper sticker. Is this just bumper sticker belief? Like, how do we really know that this is truth? Well, the big idea actually comes from a verse in John's gospel, or the biography that John wrote about Jesus. And in chapter 63, verse 33, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you'll have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Now, don't miss this phrase. You will have trouble. All right, this is Jesus talking. He's not just saying, hey, good luck out there. Like, I hope it goes well for you. Right, I'm rooting for you. He's letting us know. Oh, yeah, it's coming. Trouble's coming. But I have overcome the world. And so we got to figure out how to stay connected to Jesus. But we need to do the Bible justice, because right now we have a microscope zoomed in on verse 33. We need some context. And context is key when we're reading the Bible. Because this is a true statement. There is a phrase in the Bible that says, there is no God. Did you know that? It's true. But you need the context, because the complete verse says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So the point is, we can't just isolate a verse. We need to step back. And so when we step back from verse 33, chapter 16 is all about the persecution that Jesus says is coming. So in chapter 16, he's warning his followers. He's warning his believers. Persecution is coming. That's all throughout. And then he concludes by saying, hey, I tell you these things so that that you may have peace. In this world, you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. All right, so that's just some context. And Jesus is saying, look, I don't want you to be caught off guard. I don't want you to be surprised. A storm is coming, and so you need to be prepared. But this is where that big idea, the world overwhelms, Jesus overcomes. This is where, you know what, if I'm going to buy into this, okay, I see your verse there. That's, you know, that makes sense. But I need more. Give me some more context. Give me some more, I want more confidence that if I give my life to Jesus, he will be trustworthy. Or if I'm already a Jesus follower, and if I'm going to allow him to lead my life, I want confidence, because I'm used to just reacting. Something happens, I react. I'm used to taking charge. I'm used to making things happen. So if you're asking me to surrender my will, to surrender my life to Jesus, help me know that he's going to be there for me. So let me give you two ways in John's gospel, in John's biography of Jesus, he does this. First, John declares Jesus' significance. And he does it right from the beginning of the gospel. Chapter 1, verse 1. He writes, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now this one short verse, there's one word that's repeated three times. It's even capitalized. Word, right? This is important. In the beginning was the Word, was with God. It says the Word was God. What does this mean? A little further down the gospel, verse 14, John unpacks it. He says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He's talking about Jesus. This Jesus who was from the beginning, creator of all things, took on flesh, made his dwelling within us. And the word dwelling is actually, it literally means to set up a tent. To set up a tent. But Jesus is, John's trying to say much more about this tent. Because a tent suggests something that's temporary. Like, personally, I hate camping. So I had to look up, what's a tent? Like, I don't know what a tent is. I don't want anything to do with tents. But it's something temporary. And John's wanting to communicate there's something more permanent and lasting. There's a translation out there called the Message Bible. And I love the heart that this translation captures. In it, it says that Jesus moved into the neighborhood. Instead of made his dwelling, he moved into the neighborhood. Now, I like that. Right? Now Jesus, he's got cable, he's got neighbors, you can knock on his door, like he's been established. I like that. But by becoming flesh, by dwelling among us, by moving into the neighborhood, there's actually even more. Jesus makes his new home both among us and within us. And so we could really say this verse, the context, taking the context of the whole gospel, that the Word became flesh and dwells among us and indwells within us. There's some confidence there that this is Jesus who's talking about giving us peace, that he's overcome, and he's here. He gets it. So the world overwhelms, but Jesus overcomes. But look at John 16 again. There's another little phrase here I want you to point out. I want to point out. It says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. It's in Christ that we're going to have peace, because the world offers peace in many different ways. But they're temporary offers. And they're offers that don't really fulfill. Some of the offers look like success. You know, some are, you know, maybe, you know, drugs, popularity, you know, that bonus, you know, whatever it is. It's all different offers. Like, hey, if you do this, if you go this way, you'll have peace. And you will for a moment. It's temporary. But Jesus is saying, if you want something that's eternal, that's long-lasting, you'll find it in me. And so throughout this gospel, Jesus also declares his own significance. So John declares Jesus' significance, but Jesus does it for himself. He says, let me tell you who I am. And there's seven different statements where he says, here's who I am. Here's the first one. In John 6, he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, will never be thirsty. He's saying, I will provide for you exactly what you need. And when you don't get what you want, Jesus says, I will teach you how to be content. I am the bread of life. I've got this. I will give you what you need. He says, I am the light of the world. This is also in John's gospel. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me is never going to walk in darkness, but going to have the light that I give. So if you feel like you're surrounded by darkness, Jesus is saying, call on me and I will give you eyes to see. I'm the light of the world. He says, I'm the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And Jesus wants us to know, there's things that are happening in your life that you're praying for, and you should. But I am protecting you in so many other ways you're not even aware of. I'm putting this protection around you that you don't even know about. But I'm the gatekeeper, and so if anything comes your way, I'm allowing it in, and I will provide for you through that. He says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm going to protect. I'm going to provide. All right? The world, the enemy is going to try to defeat you, but they have to go through me. Jesus is saying, regardless of what is going on in your life, I am there with you. I will provide for you. He says, I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. Yeah, in other words, he's saying, you know, my enemies thought that they killed me. But here I am. I have risen and I have overcome. I conquered death. I will help you with whatever you're going through. He says, I'm the way, the truth, the life. And I mentioned this before. The world offers lots of ways to receive some temporary satisfaction. But Jesus is saying, my promises will never change. My promises never expire. And then finally, he says, I'm the true vine. He says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And I used to read that, I'm like, come on, nothing? Like, I see plenty of people who could care less about you, God, and they're being very successful. They're accomplishing things apart from you. What do you mean, nothing? And the reality is, it's what we already talked about. There's all kinds of goals that people pursue apart from God. There's all kinds of accolades, there's all kinds of accomplishments, but the lasting value is limited. When people finally climb to the top of the ladder, often they look around and realize, the ladder's on the wrong wall. Like, I've been putting all this effort, and I'm here, and it's not what I want. But Jesus is saying, if you follow me, if you allow me to live through you, you will accomplish great things. There's only three things that last for eternity. That's it. God, God's word, and the human soul. And so as much as we invest in those three things, we are investing in eternity. So we follow Jesus and invest those things. These are things that will last forever. So the world overwhelms, but Jesus overcomes. I want to introduce a couple of friends to you who often also happen to be family members. These are my cousins on my wife Janine's side. These guys are amazing people, Butch and Kathy. Come on up. Welcome. Yes, yes. I encourage you to say hi to them at the end of the service. And tonight, Janine and I are going to host a little dessert where they're going to unpack a little bit more of their story. If you're interested in attending, let me know, and then I'll see if we can work that out to get you there. So let me conclude with this. John 16, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. There's another passage in this same gospel, chapter 14, and I'll just read this for you. This is Jesus speaking. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. And this peace, this is the shalom peace. It's not just, hey, peace, or, you know, I hope everything's cool. Peace is physically, spiritually, emotionally. May God's presence come upon you in such a way that regardless of the storm, there's peace. Because God is here. Because God is with me. Because God is going to get me through it. I want to read you a quote from an author who writes about this verse. He says, my peace I give to you. This is no second-class bargain basement brand of peace. As the old-timers would say, it's top drawer. Jesus doesn't say that he's going to create a situation that will cause us to be at peace. Rather, he shares with us the very peace that is within him. He dips into that vein and injects into us through the syringe of the Spirit. How amazing and glorious is that? That is cool. That's the peace. It's the peace that Jesus has that he gives to us. And then the verse continues. He says, not as the world gives, but not as the world gives to you, it's the peace that I give to you. So the author says, peace, like joy, comes from the depths of our rootedness in Christ. It's not based on our present circumstances. At best, the world around us only offers moments of peace. We talked about that. Surface level tranquility. But even these brief times are tempered with the knowledge that something will happen sooner or later that will disturb the peace. God's peace runs deeper than that. It can survive and transcend our circumstances. So what's great is after Jesus says this, after he prepares and warns his believers that a storm is coming, be prepared, don't be caught off guard, the next chapter he prays. John chapter 17, I encourage you to read that this week. But let me read you an excerpt from these verses, and I just want you to listen to these words and let them just like wash over you. Jesus prays. He says, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. So just think about that. In the midst of whatever you're going through and wishing like, oh, God, get me out of here. I can't stand this neighborhood. I can't stand this job. I can't stand these people, whatever it is. Instead, what you need to realize is, wow, God, you have given me this opportunity. You've strategically put me here. You've put me here so that I may show and tell the love of Christ. God, in the midst of this chaos, give me the strength to show and tell of your love. Now, just a side note, this is true in like 99% of the chaos and stress that we will face. But if you're ever in any kind of abusive relationship, you're not supposed to just be a good soldier and take it. No, that's where we as a family, as a body of Christ, will need to help you and need to remove you from that situation. But 99% of the time, it's just that we have to have that different perspective. Then Jesus prays, "My prayer is not for them alone," meaning his disciples of that day. "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." That's us. He's praying for us, that all of them may be one. "Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." I want to finish by just giving you some time to process, to think. It's highly probable that the Holy Spirit has been knocking at your heart, nudging you to say something, to do something, to respond in some way, to stop doing something, to start doing something. I don't know. What is God's Holy Spirit saying? If you're thinking, I don't got anything, let me give you some suggestions. Let me give you some thoughts. Let me give you some ideas. One thing I already mentioned, this week, read John chapter 17. Reflect on it. This is Jesus' prayer. First of all, it's a great model for how we are to pray. But what is he saying that can encourage us, that can comfort us? How about second, this week, why don't you memorize that John 16, verse 33. Memorize that verse. That was the key verse that we looked at. Or maybe this week, choose to praise God despite your circumstances, knowing that he's in control. Here's a little tip for praying. We never have to pray, "God, be with me." He is with us. Instead, why don't we pray, "God, help me realize that you're with me. Give me eyes to see. Give me the courage to step out because I know you're with me." And then that phrase, he says, "In me you will have peace." Are you in Jesus? Maybe you're not yet a believer, came with a friend or family member, or you've just been coming and hasn't really made sense. Maybe today is the day you say, "You know what? I want to be in Jesus." And all that takes is a prayer where you say, "God, I give up. Here's the white flag. I surrender. Here's the deed of my life. I sign it over to you. Forgive me for my sin. And I now want to follow you." That's what it takes. But for those of us who are believers, maybe we're not following Jesus. Maybe we're trying to get every which way away from him. Yet every time we turn around, there he is. We can't escape him. So why don't we turn around and receive the hug from Jesus and say, I'm not running anymore. I want to walk with you." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for reminding us that storms are coming and that in you we will have all that we need. In you is where we can find hope. We can find peace. And God, for some of us who just need to be reminded that it's time to stop running. In this moment right now, God, we give up our stress. We give up our fear. We give up some of the ways we've tried to cheat to get ahead. We give up the evil words we've said or thoughts that we've thought. We surrender them to you and ask you to give us the strength to follow you. And we pray with thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.